We're back with a special Project Milwaukee edition of Lake Effect from Studio 100. Make that Suite 100, but we'll call it a studio. Suite 100 on street level of the Chase Tower at Water End, Wisconsin. I'm Mitch Tyke. We're talking about barriers to achievement at MPS throughout this week, and one constant on the education landscape over the past decade has been a name that's been following the debates over governance, over achievement, the success or failure of school choice and vouchers. Alan Borsuk spent more than a decade as the primary education reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. He left the Daily Beat but continues to write a weekly education column for the paper, and he's also a senior fellow in law and public policy at Marquette University Law School. Alan Borsuk joins us now in Suite 100. Welcome back to Lake Effect.
Glad to be here.
So over the past week, we have heard a lot of contentions about what's getting in the way of achievement at MPS, various explanations like the state's funding formula is hamstringing MPS, or that school choice and vouchers have brought the whole system down, or that teacher retention is a problem, or that teachers aren't getting enough support, or that the education schools aren't doing the job, or that the cost of health insurance is draining resources the district could spend on other things. I could go on and on with a list. Let me ask you maybe a strange question. Is it possible that everyone is right?
Oh, yes. I think everyone probably is right, at least to a substantial degree. And yet, to some degree, I think they should all be ignored. that you can't, as my wife, who's a teacher, often tells her kids, life isn't fair. It isn't fair the way kids are brought up in the city, the circumstances they live in, the tragedies that they face. In a more just society, it would be, you know, criminal to treat kids the way so many of them are treated. But they are who they are. They are the best kids that the city has to offer. And that doesn't change the fact that more can be done with them in terms of educational success than is being done. I am 100% convinced of that. I'm convinced of that because it's occurring in some schools in Milwaukee. I'm convinced of that because it's occurring in other cities in the country. Nobody has solved the problems of urban education, and they are huge both internally and externally to the school systems. But there are places where it's going a lot better than here, and I can't for the life of me think of a reason why that's so that isn't changeable. So everybody's right. It'd be nice if there are a lot better circumstances around a lot of issues, but a lot can be done with what is here now.
You wrote just recently about the demise of the Milwaukee Learning Laboratory and Institute, which is this small high school, which is ending its five-year run at the end of the school year. Is that story emblematic of a larger issue within the education landscape here?
Well, to the degree I'd say that it carries this message, that even good intentions, good people, hardworking people, change is not easy. Change is not always successful. I think for the large part, they just exhausted themselves and found that it's way harder than they thought walking into it. And I think that's been true nationwide. There's just so many waves of educational reform, so many waves of policy initiatives by government or whatever, the fad of the moment or the fad of the month, that just haven't worked. And yet, in total, I think there is some progress, some sense of forward momentum. So I don't think the end of Millie means we all got to throw up our hands and give up.
I feel bad because of the metaphor I'm about to use, but is this situation like a car crash in the sense that you have this sort of tangled mass of wreckage that you have to peel away before you can get at the potential victims that are inside? Is there some place that this has to start, or is that just a bad metaphor for a bad metaphor?
I wouldn't use that metaphor because I don't think you need to. I mean, MPS is frankly a pretty beat up older car, but you can still go places in a beat up older car. I've driven some of them in my day, and I've always said if I got four wheels that turn, I can steer and brake. I can probably make some progress, and I think there is some truth that MPS is in that kind of shape. It's certainly not as nice a car as a lot of people would like it to be, but it isn't that hard to change the focus. I think a lot of it starts with leadership. You got a new superintendent coming in who I really think is actually making some good moves even before he's officially on the job.
Such as?
He's been out in the community a lot. He's been meeting with a ton of folks, and his message has been both very positive and energetic, but also somewhat challenging, that he's not satisfied with the status quo. I think he's sending signals he's going to bring in some new people and people from his past in Philly and in Montgomery County, Maryland. He named a chief academic officer who has a reputation in Philadelphia of being someone who is not going to settle for bad performance. I think it's really important to get a fresh wave of energy into MPS, and he seems to be sending that signal. So if he does that, if he works on getting some new energy into the principal core, it's a, you know, you drop the pebble in the pond. There are ripple effects to these things. I think the system is in need of an infusion of energy and urgency, a sense of urgency, and there's some potential he can provide it. So I'm certain, at minimum, I'm certainly willing to give him some time to show himself. But I'd say it may be above the minimum. So far, the signals are pretty good.
Do you think, I mean, not that there's any one single magic bullet, but is political will a magic bullet? It seems like whenever the state takes on education, it breaks down to a Milwaukee versus the rest of the state dichotomy. Is the case not being made across the state well enough for statewide solutions?
Yes. Does that answer the question?
It does.
I think so. There is a huge gap. And I think if anyone wants to close the gap, it's going to have to start with the next governor, whoever it might be. It's going to have to start with, as a second part of that, Milwaukee's leaders, MPS's leaders, and I agree with Bob Peterson, the business community, the political community here has to really be united, be willing to make some sacrifices and show people that there's some changes. If they're going to take the status quo out to the state and to the state legislature, they're just going to get hammered because nobody likes the status quo. They're going to have to show it's different.
Well, and is part of the problem the climate of public expectations or political expectations? I mean, how much time is likely to be appropriate to wait after any changes are made, and is anyone likely to wait that long?
That's a really important question because change does take a while. I was just reading some stuff about Massachusetts and its history. Massachusetts is a place where trends are consistently up. Performance is very high compared to Wisconsin, compared to the nation for that matter. The first time they imposed a regimen, they made a grand political deal in Massachusetts in the early 1990s. More money, an infusion of resources for the schools, a trade-off for higher standards for teachers, higher expectations for kids. The first time they did a major round of state testing, the results were a disaster. And that was about 1998, if I recall correctly. At this point, Massachusetts kids lead the nation in almost every test. So it took time for it to come around. I think to some degree, people, politicians, are sort of willing to do that. They are an impatient bunch. If they see surrounding progress, if they think there's good things happening, the status quo is being changed.
Yesterday, the National Governors Association and the Council of Chief State School Officers released recommendations for national standards in reading and math. What is likely to be the future of the standards discussion in Wisconsin? Is there likely to be a drive here to adopt these kinds of standards in an effort to pursue the second round of Race to the Top funds?
Wisconsin has been part of this core standards effort, I think a little bit reluctantly, but nonetheless joined in. And I see that the state superintendent issued a statement yesterday that they're going to follow this. Potentially, this could be a really dramatic change. Wisconsin has a reputation of having some of the weakest and vaguest standards of any state in the country.
Right,
it's been ripped in numerous studies for that.
Right, I read the Teacher of the Year in Wisconsin said it's not that the Wisconsin standards are bad, it's that there are so many of them that they can't get their heads around them.
Well, a lot of them are just vague and such. The new standards are much more specific. They're more demanding. Wisconsin as a whole, this isn't just a Milwaukee thing, has been complacent. The testing scores have been flat, and I think that is indicative of a reaching a plateau or even sinking a little bit statewide. New standards, and I think the WKCE is the state tester, the test everybody loves to hate. The intention is to replace that in the next couple years with a better and more sophisticated test. These are going to be major changes because they're going to suddenly – there's some chance that scores and results will go down right away because the standards are suddenly going to be higher. If you raise the bar, fewer kids are going to are going to jump it at the start. The hope is that they'll learn to reach that bar. It's going to be a big changer for Wisconsin to have those high standards. The same is true with Milwaukee and its new reading program. MPS is bringing in a new reading program. The goal is for it to be more demanding. But that's a good thing when you look at the reading scores. It bears repeating over and over. The reading and math scores that came out in the last several months related to Milwaukee, the first time Milwaukee was ever compared to other urban districts, were shocking, were horrible, put us at the bottom of the nation. Do we want to have a motto as an education system, thank God for Detroit? That's where things pretty much stood in these test results. It's high time to change that.
Would you expect things like teacher tenure to surface as issues? They've surfaced as issues in other cities, but really have not much in Milwaukee. Would you expect them to surface?
Again, I'd frame that statewide because it would require, I think, some statewide momentum around that. A really good question, and I'm not even sure it's a tenure issue alone, but I think there are places in the country that are paying a lot more attention to teacher quality and how to work with teachers, how to motivate teachers, how to do better professional development. I think Wisconsin has been way behind the curve on that issue, too. So I'll be very curious to see if that emerges.
You indicated that you think the incoming superintendent is already taking some positive steps, or what you would think of as the right steps. If you were the incoming superintendent, what would be the next things that you did when you took office?
I was asked in a panel discussion a couple months ago, what would I do on the first day of the job? And my answer was an all-out media blitz, an all-out staff communications blitz, and in both cases with two messages. One of them is, this is war. We're really going to put some fresh, demanding energy into this. And the other message is, we're going to win. It can be done. We really can improve. We're in it to make it.
Alan Borsak, thanks so much. Alan Borsak writes a regular education column in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, where he was the education reporter for more than a decade. He's now a senior fellow in law and public policy at Marquette University Law School. That's today's Lake Effect, broadcast live from Studio 100 on the ground floor at Wisconsin and Water. Special thanks to the Chase Tower for providing the space for our remote broadcast, and to Altera for providing the coffee. A lot of hands come together to make Project Milwaukee a reality. We couldn't have done today's broadcast without the incredible technical support of our engineers, Tom May and John Strelecki. Lake Effect is in all-hands-on-deck mode this morning. Thanks to Bonnie North, Dan Harmon, Stephanie Lecce, and our intern, Kirsten Wisniewski. Annalise Hensel is the executive producer of Project Milwaukee. I'm Mitch Tye. Thanks so much for listening today in person and on the radio. And please join us again tomorrow and every weekday morning at 10 for Lake Effect from WUWM HD, Milwaukee Public Radio. Stay tuned. Fresh air is next.